Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant of Church in Thomaston. It's so good to see all of you. For some of you, it's Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, because I haven't seen some of you in a while, so it is good to see everyone. A couple of the announcements we have. The diaconate meeting will be after church, 11:30 in the library for the diaconate members. And reports are due. How are we doing in reports?
Well,
you
still need some of the financial ones.
Okay, but they're due
last week.
They're due last week, so yeah, on those. Does anyone have anything they would like to bring up this morning or share with us? Joys? Concerns? Do please. Yeah, it is good to see him in church. You want to embarrass him, huh? Point arrow. Yay! Tommy's looking sharp, too. I like the shirt. Anything else anyone else would like to share with us this morning? Well, that's a great high to move on to our introit, number 276 in the blue hymnal. Join me in our call to worship. Come to worship this day.
We have come seeking God's blessings and love.
They shall be given to you.
We have come seeking forgiveness and healing.
These will be offered to you. Open your hearts to receive God's good news.
We open our hearts.
Thank you.
bow in prayer with me, please. Father God, good morning. It is a cold morning. We come here. We have many in our family who are hurting and struggling, Father. We lift them all up to you this day. But Father, we come here today in the sacrament of communion. We come together. We don't presume to come to your table today. We come, Father, seeking your mercy, seeking your trust, seeking your righteousness. Father God, we praise you and thank you this morning. We are not worthy to come together, to even to gather up the crumbs of your table, but you allow us to come this day. We praise you for that gift, Lord. We praise you for your mercy. Grant us that, therefore, gracious Lord, that we eat the bread and drink the cup, that we may dwell in your Son, our Savior, and in whose name we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
It's a tradition at our church that we present Bibles to our second graders. And Lori is their teacher.
Yeah, in second grade, and I have a wonderful class. I have the best class ever.
She's a wonderful teacher.
No, but we do have such wonderful children in this church, and I'm just so blessed. And I've been teaching for a real long time. And I love it. Yeah.
So if we could have Willow and Gunnar Sagafi, and Maya, and Adriana, and these are our bright and beautiful and handsome second graders.
And they're such a good group of kids. I enjoy coming every Sunday to be with them.
And we're just so proud of them.
We are.
And we are excited for you as you get your Bibles. And this is a Bible especially for kids. It's got lots of great pictures in it. And we hope that it's something you come to love and enjoy reading, and that it will nourish you in your faith as you grow and trust the Lord more and more. So before we present these, well, let me just offer a blessing. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Adriana and Willow and Maya and Gunnar. Lord, we're excited for what you will do in their lives. And we thank you, Lord, that they are here at this church, and that they will receive instruction and fellowship and care. And help us, Lord, as a congregation, to always love and encourage these precious ones. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this belongs to Gunnar. And this one is for Willow. And this is for Maya. I don't even need to look at this one. Okay, kids, thank you so much, and thank you, Lori.
Right here.
Trust me.
join our hearts in prayer. Our Father God, loving Father, gracious and abundant Savior, oh Lord, we just are so blessed, Father, by all that you have done for us in securing our salvation, Lord God. Lord, it's such a privilege to be here and to see the precious ones in this church, Lord, and may we always encourage and nurture them, Lord Jesus, that they will come to a saving faith in you. And Lord, it's not just for children. Oh, Lord God, it's for all of us. May we always strive, Lord, to be in close communion with you, Lord God. Lord, refine us as only you can, Lord Jesus, as we draw nearer to you. Lord, your refining fire in our lives is what makes us, Lord, into who you want us to be. And it might not feel pleasant when we go through trials, Lord God, but we know you work on our behalf for our benefit, and it's for your glory. And we thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you will be with those believers, Lord, in the world who are not able to meet the way we are in freedom and liberty, singing loud praises joyfully to you. Lord, there are so many believers worldwide who must meet in secret and under cover of darkness, Lord God, whose very lives are threatened because they worship you. Oh, Lord God, we just pray that there will be an end to that suffering and persecution, but we know, Lord God, that persecution will happen. And Lord, we have been a blessed nation because we have been spared, so many of us, from that. But Lord, we are not exempt. And so I just pray that you will prepare us, Lord, for whatever you have in store, whatever happens in this world, Lord God. We belong to you, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Lord, we pray for our country. Lord Jesus, we pray that as we begin this new year, that you will unite our government, Lord God, that there will be a cohesion and a working together, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for our state and our various towns that we're from. Lord, we pray for our schools. It's a challenge, Lord, for teachers and for students. Lord Jesus, we have many teachers here in our congregation. I just ask, Lord God, that you will strengthen them, that you will fill them, Holy Spirit, that you will enable and equip them. And I pray for the students, Lord. Oh, Father God, these children need you. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that through efforts of our church and other local churches, that kids will come to know you, Lord God. And I pray for people within our own church, specifically I think of Rogene, Lord God. Encourage her, Holy Spirit. And for Carolyn Stratman, Lord, I just pray that you will meet them where they are, Lord God, and fill the gaps in their lives and their loneliness. And Lord, we pray for those in our fellowship who have been sick. Lord God, bring healing, Lord Jesus. Pray for Tom Stange, who will be undergoing surgery this week. We pray for a full and speedy recovery, Lord God, and that you will just bless him and Nancy as she helps in his recovery. Lord God, we just thank you that you have made a way for us to come to you in prayer and in fellowship, Lord. May we always seek those avenues of fellowship with you. You tell us, Lord, to think of you as we're walking along the way and as we're going about our day. May we be ever mindful of you, Lord Jesus. And may we talk about you, Lord, with our children and with our spouses and with our families and our friends, Lord God. May our praise for you ever be on our lips. Help us, Lord, to be in fellowship and communion with you. And we think of that especially now as we begin this new year. We make many resolutions, and they last for a day or a week or maybe a month. But, Lord, may this not just be a resolution. May this be a way of life, of who we are in you, that we will walk with you in fellowship, that we will grow in our faith, that we will share the good news, because that's what the gospel is, good news. We love you, Lord. We give you this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture readings this morning. The Old Testament lesson is in Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. And if you want to follow along in your pew Bible, that's on page 584. The title is The Servant, A Light to the Nations. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. New Testament reading is in Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. You'll find that on page 895 in the Pew Bibles. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Join me now in our confession of sin found in your bulletin.
Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, and what our hearts can no longer bear. Consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from the past that we cannot change. Open to us a future
which we can change. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. The book of Psalms was one of my favorite books in the Bible. At times of crisis and bereavement, I find that reading the Psalms to be a great source of comfort and guidance, especially when I visit someone in their homes or in the hospital. People come to expect to hear their favorite Psalms at weddings and at funerals. I believe that for most people, Psalm 23 is their most known and something that they request a lot. They feel very comfortable in that. Psalm 89 is known for praise of God. Psalm 98 is a song, sing a song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds, for its joyful approach to music and to worship. Psalm 103 is one of the best known psalms of praise. O my soul, all my most innermost being, praise his holy name. For all the praise and worship in their writings, there's a reality of God in the Psalms where its writers, despite their love for God, frequently ask, "Where are you, God? Why don't you help me?" This often gives them a feeling of being abandoned or of misuse or feeling betrayed. Their joy and praise saturate these prayers come not out of an absence of problems in their lives, but from a deep conviction that a great God would overcome them. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm number 29, Psalm of David, where the voice of the Lord not only thunders in judgment, but also comes to us in grace and truth in the person of Jesus Christ. This psalm also reminds us exactly who it was who called Jesus beloved. It was God of heaven and earth, the one whose voice spoke everything into being, the same God who broke the cedars of Lebanon and also ripped the skies open, the same God who shook the wilderness and sent the Spirit as a winged courier into Jordan. Sometimes we as individuals and as a church and as a nation start to portray and come to a realization that we turn God into something like Santa Claus or like the old man in the sky, losing our respect and our value of God for who he truly is. We minimize God in our worship and our prayer by overvaluing ourselves and our underestimating whose we are. We are 100% his. Our challenge of talking about God is that God's nature is so far beyond our own that we can only catch a glimpse of God's power and glory. It's impossible to use human minds to understand God or to use human language to capture everything about him. We need at times to take a step back to worship in our faith that we are his and that he and he alone controls every aspect of our lives. Is God real? Yes, we say, but we fall into ruts where we minimize his value because we maximize ours. We question him like the psalmist. wanting or needing him in our lives only up to a certain point, or only at certain times of the year, or only when our world gets shaken. So we ask questions we need to ask ourselves. Did we come here this morning? Did you come here this morning to go to church? Or did you come here this morning to worship God? Because he ain't no Santa Claus, heaven ain't the North Pole, and the angels ain't elves. So let us think about who our God is and try to understand our needs, expectations, and responsibility in worshiping our Father, our Lord God Almighty. A Psalm of David, Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes the Lebanon leap like a calf. Syrian, Mount Hermon, like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. If we think of Santa Claus as a whisper, think of God as a God of thunder. If we think of Santa Claus as this church, think of God as the universe that he created. Just try to put it into a little more perspective how small we are. It would take around 1.3 million Earths to fill the sun. How many Earths to just fill our known universe? Well, it would take 320 followed by 57 zeros. It's incomprehensible. Our Creator created time and space, and therefore beyond, he is beyond time and space, beyond all earthly understanding. The power of God's voice alone, it creates, it ignites, it comforts, and it destroys. The voice more powerful than any hurricane, tornado, more explosive than any of these perfect storms. In the storm of today's psalm, God's might revealed in thunder, lightning, and devastating winds. This powerful voice of God that breaks cedars, flashes flames of fire, shakes the wilderness, and causes oaks to swirl. But in the final verse of 29, the psalm offers us words of hope with a prayer charged with faithful expectation. May the Lord give strength to his people. The unbelievable thunder, lightning, tree-bending wind strength of God softly blesses his people with peace. Strength and peace equal faith and hope. These are all earthly in understanding, beyond universal understanding. Yet the psalmist asks us earnestly to talk to God, to ascribe to God, ascribe to the Lord, give to the Lord the glory due his name by understanding and acknowledging all that God already is, giving him what he alone deserves. David, our psalmist, earnestly asked the heavenly beings to talk back to this God who speaks. Ascribe to the Lord. Talk back, the psalmist commands. And how do we do this? How do we talk back? Through prayer. God of power grants us strength today to pray. The amazing power of prayer. The power of prayer isn't the words that we utter. It's not about what we pray or even how we pray. Prayer can be defined as talking back to God, the act of worship that acknowledges him, glorifies him, reinforces our need for him. Through living a life of prayer, we communicate with the very source and purpose of our existence. It is our fiercest weapon. Prayer is our fiercest weapon against enemy and all things in this fallen world. Priscilla Schreer, in the author of Fervent, A Woman's Battle Plan to Serious, Specific, and Strategic Prayer, says, "Prayer is the portal that brings the power of heaven down to earth. It's the kryptonite to the enemy and to all his ploys against you. The Lord God Almighty can do all things. There's nothing impossible for him." Luke 1:37, the character of the heart of God is very fabric in this gospel. When we close our eyes, we get on our knees, the Spirit of God whispers, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" It's as if to say to our hearts, no need is too great, no need is too small. The power of prayer isn't the person praying, it's not a magical formula. It isn't the key words. It's an open heart, humble and filled with awe of who our mighty God is. Rather, the power resides in the God of who is being prayed to. Jesus rebukes those who pray using repetition, or those who pray in public to seek attention, and those who don't have it right in the heart. "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they have heard. They will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask." Matthew 6. Last Monday night, like maybe some of you, I was watching the Bills-Bengals Monday night football game in Cincinnati when Damar Hamlin was hit on a play. He soon went down suffering a cardiac arrest. CPR was administered and his heartbeat was restored on the field before he was taken to the hospital in very serious condition. The power of the moment seemed to devastate and affect everyone in the stadium, the players, the broadcasters, and the fans. The players huddled like you see many times when there's a serious injury, but this time more of them were out there. The announcers seemed speechless. No one really knew what to say. And they would go back to ESPN studios and they really didn't know what to say. But for an hour or so afterwards, before the game was canceled, the announcers, they kept repeating one thing, prayer. They, the announcers, kept asking for prayer. Prayer for the families. Prayer for Damar. And it seemed strange to me. I kind of, hearing it from them, they go back to the studio and they were all asking for prayer. No matter what station I would turn to addressing this incident as I was trying to get a little more information, they were all asking for prayer. And I soon wondered how many of these were real. How many of these guys really knew what they were asking for, or were they just repeating something? Would ESPN or any of the other stations have allowed the word prayer and its obvious meaning to be repeated and often spoken before this incident? Because I don't think so. Because when they would shoot to them praying, they would go to a commercial. They wouldn't show that half the time. Why does it take a plane crash into a building, a tragic shooting, or a sports player injured so seriously to bring the happy holiday people back to being Merry Christmas people? You know, the ones that they always try to take Christ out of everything. Until now, it seems so serious that they're asking for prayer. Amazingly, on Tuesday, former UConn and NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky, now an analyst with ESPN, surprised and delighted many viewers by putting this script down. In the middle of NFL Live, he stopped and he softly and sincere voice called for additional prayers for Hamlin, saying, I heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do. But it's just on my heart. I want to pray for Damar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it loud. I'm going to close my eyes and bow my head. And I'm going to pray for him in the middle of his show. He continued, God, we come to you in these very moments that we don't understand, that we heard because we believed that your God and coming to you and praying to you has an impact. We're sad and we're angry. We want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you. Pray for strength for Damar, for healing for Damar, for comfort for Damar. Be with his family to give him peace. If we don't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you. But God, I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up Damar Hamlin's name. In your name, amen. You'd think there would be a backlash. Last week, before it happened, there would have been a backlash. You would have been thrown off of the television station. But by paying tribute to him, Orlovsky's seemingly impromptu words were widely praised online. Millions of viewers called in praising what had happened. His prayers have been called powerful, brave, and genuine. As powerful as it gets, and one of the coolest things on TV. Christian sport show, Faith on the Field, Rob Mandetti wrote, proud of you, bro, for where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is among you. In a time when the psalmist questions, where are you, God? Why didn't you help us? Why did you allow this to happen? Could have exploded across the news TV shows. Bordovlosky and others stepped up in their faith, prayer, and praise, seemingly to rise to the top of all of the discussions, telling the world that a big, tough football player is telling the world it's okay to pray. Telling men of all ages, it's okay for men to pray. Their voice may seem like yours or mine, but they thundered across the airwaves, broke down walls and crushed barriers, moved mountains and lifted prayer and God up a peg or two. Shared with the mostly male audience, Orlovsky showed, it's okay to pray in times of uncertainty, when someone you know is hurting, to bow in prayer at home, at work, at church, silently in front of others, even in front of the whole world. Former football player Darius Slay tweeted that while some of these TV people are so dang fake, he appreciated Orlovsky and his colleagues for keeping it real. Orlovsky's reply was, let's live out our faith right now for Damar. In this tragedy, our great God has found a way to overcome and to lift up his people. From out of nowhere, the start of a national televised football game, God found a way for his people to step up without fear in putting prayer and faith in front and in center of one of the biggest secular TV stations in the world. I'm sure God is with Damar and his family and will be with him as, praise God, he steadily improves. He is moving his limbs, he's talking, he's getting better. And one football announcer said, he thought it was because of the prayers, and then he stopped himself and he said, I know it's because of our prayers to God. Through this, I felt like most of the NFL was like the woman in Mark 5 who reaches to try to touch Jesus' garment, who knows that there's faith there. If she could just touch it, she will be healed. It's almost as if NFL is reaching out for their player. And last night there was another game on, and across the big screen it said prayers for Damar. But both teams came out and met in the middle of the field, kneeled, and prayed. And ESPN didn't turn to a commercial. ESPN didn't go away. It stayed there through their prayer. Now, we have to wonder, as this continues, how soon until the prayers stop? How soon until they stop showing that on TV? How soon until they do go to commercial? But we like to think that these people, by standing up, have spread the word of God, have spread the word of prayer, have shown that it's okay to pray. And they probably won't show these prayers or say them again until another tragic event happens. Psalm 107, 28 through 30 reminds us, they cried out to God in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storms with a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad and it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired heaven. This is the amazing power of prayer. Amen. Participation in this meal is for all who confess their faith in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. We gather together in the presence of our shepherd God, who calls us each by name, who restores our souls, who leads us in the way of righteousness, and whose goodness and love never stops pursuing us. This is the God we have come this morning to worship. It's now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life, all who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them, all who would walk in love with their neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, are invited to draw near with faith and to receive Holy Sacrament. Come to this table this morning not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be one of his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because you have a claim on the grace of God, but because in your frailty and sin you stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek God's presence and pray for the Holy Spirit. Would you please stand now for our affirmation of faith found on page 878. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
bow in prayer with me, please. O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast where, with all your saints, we will gather in the glory everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul goes on to tell us that in the same way, he took the cup after supper. "This is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And Paul reminds us that when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again.
Thank you.
the blood of Christ, your Savior, shed for you. Take and drink. The gift of God for the people of God, we take them in remembrance of our Christ who died for us. We feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Loving God, you graciously have fed us, who have received these holy mysteries and the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. Amen. Please join me in our reaffirmation of our relational covenant found in your bulletin. Please stand. Let our intentions with...
Let our interactions,
interactions
be based on... Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all these virtues, put on love. We promise to love, to listen to each other.
Seated.
Oh, got another one?
And any of the men that want to sing the chorus along with us?
Guys got to go up and sing. Women got to go up.
So you guys are sitting on the island?
Yeah. Women got to go up.
Jessica. Yes.
Got some rain.
Father God, we come today bowing before you, thanking for your blessings of sharing communion together. Father God, let us not take that for granted. Let us stand up and sing. Let us be joyous. Let us be thankful. And we come before you with our offering this morning, thanking and praising you for all that you do in our lives. We are truly blessed. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May you greet those around you this day. May you go out with a happy heart, rejoiced and filled in the Lord's blessing of sacrament this day. The grass withers and the flowers fade. The word of our Lord, it endures forever. Go in his peace. Amen.